Hey, everybody. Welcome to Therapy Rocks, a personal growth podcast. I'm your host, Signa Darpinian, co-author of No Way and Raising Body Positive Teens, both with Jessica Kingsley Publishers in London. Dr. Derek Vigon is here today to talk to us about all that goes into our musical taste, how music and audio tracks can enhance performance with athletes, performers, and organizations, music as catharsis, and more. Dr. Vigon is a licensed clinical and sports psychologist in private practice in Maryland and Virginia, and a staff psychologist and coordinator of sports psychology at George Mason University. He has worked in a number of clinical settings which allowed him to support individuals with diverse presenting problems from various multicultural backgrounds. Dr. Vigon has supported numerous collegiate and professional athletes, has consulted with the NCAA's Atlantic 10 Conference, the NFL, in addition to many professional organizations. His dissertation performance tool, Psych Beats, was performed with Olympic marathon runners in San Francisco. Dr. Vigon, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here today. Thank you so much for having me on, Signa. I'm so jazzed to be here to talk with you and to share about Psych Beats.
Dr. Vigon, I noticed that on my way to doing an interview, like my podcast interview today, I gravitate towards stations like the KISS station to get me in the right frame of mind for performing an interview such as ours today. What goes into our musical taste?
So I think a number of things. Probably there's some genetic component to that where, you know, many, you know, if we think about our lineage, what, how, you know, culturally, religiously, a number of diversity factors that are present in this, in what way has music impacted our family, our history, our background? In what ways was music used to either enhance connection or feeling or emotion? And then similarly, I think maybe for you, Signa, at that time in your life when you were getting into music, KISS was really, you know, going on.
And you're exactly right. That's exactly right. Like, it's right when I was getting into music, you know, say like 13, 14, such an emotionally charged time of life.
You know, that music, I would imagine too, probably yielded obviously positive feelings for you, but maybe even increased social connection or a way to unite with others, rocking out to these amazing songs, right? And how nice that felt to be able to escape probably the stressors of life and be, you know, in this zone.
Oh, that's I love the way you say that, because it does, it puts me in the right state of mind to be able to do an interview. You've created a cutting edge audio tool called Psych Beats. We would love to hear more about what Psych Beats is.
I'm going to first off start by saying that I've been working on Psych Beats for the past almost 16 years. Kind of this thing has been my baby, and I've put all of my heart and soul and energy into this. My three loves in life are sports, psychology, and music. And when I was doing my graduate work, I needed to figure out a way to bring all of these three things together, to a marriage of these three. And that was Psych Beats. So some background here, I have a music background, but let's kind of zoom into thinking of pro athletes or collegiate athletes walking down the tunnel into the arena. They all have the headphones on. The majority of them have the headphones on. So here I'm seeing that folks are usually listening to some audio as they're walking into the arena. And what I know, you know, from, I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist, and I pull from a number of different orientations with specific interventions and that kind of thing. But I'm very into behavioral techniques and specifically enhancing self-efficacy. We know that increases in self-efficacy are linked to optimal performances. And so here I am watching these athletes walk into the arena with the Beats on. And what if we were to combine some existing sports psych techniques into an already existing behavioral routine of walking in with the music on? So I was like, I started grad school and I was like, how do I make these audio tracks for these athletes? And so what I found were a number of things specific to optimal performance, which I'll get into in a second. But essentially, I would draft a script with these my individual clients and have them bring them into my recording studio, similar to the one that you're sitting in today, which is looks quite nice and efficient. And I would have them dictate some of these self-efficacy boosting statements specific to their task, whether that's shooting free throws or regulating anxiety before a big game, or kind of increasing heart rate, depending on, you know, what they're trying to do to hit their optimal arousal, physiological arousal space. And so in terms of what I found with some of my research, the five components are going into optimal performance. The first one is positive self-talk. So how we're speaking to ourselves prior to and during a performance. And, you know, I believe in my ability to achieve this previously set goal. The second would be kinesthetic imagery. So thinking through particularly what areas of my body are being activated that I'm trying to optimize and target during this part of the performance task, and getting very specific with what part of the body is you're utilizing there. The third would be the tactical component, which is coming from our position coach, our head coach, any instructor or other coach that is like, hey, you need to remember to do this thing in this part of the performance. So like I'm thinking about a sprinter coming around the curve and dropping their shoulder as they approach that the turn, and to kind of, so I'm thinking about doing that as I'm approaching the turn, and that's going to help me kind of stay a little bit more focused at that part of the race. The fourth would be recalling past successful performance outcomes. So like all the other times that that athlete or that individual has been successful in the past and has gained some confidence in what they're doing, and hopefully they're practicing what they're doing so they can kind of rely on this ability to influence confidence rather than potentially a series of fluctuating performance data points, that this it's this ability that's helping me be confident there. So recalling some of those successful performance outcomes when we've done this thing really well. And then of course, the fifth one is mindful breathing to really help control heart rate and get us into the present moment. And so those are the five components. Now, what I then do is I say to the athlete, so what kind of music gets you in the zone, right? And what we're looking for is I try to find instrumental music of their particular artist that helps them either decrease heart rate, if this is someone with performance anxiety, or increase tension before the race, which is totally normal usually, because it means a lot what they're about to do. So maybe using music to bring down one's physiological arousal and heart rate, or on the complete opposite side, maybe I'm really low energy and I need to increase my heart rate before performance. So we would be using some faster BPM music there to instrumental music to increase the heart rate there. And then what we're doing is I am taking the vocal content that's specific to the self-efficacy statements of, you know, covering those five components, and pairing that with that instrumental music, and then yielding a portable, confidential pre-performance tool that this individual has to utilize prior to performance to help get them more quickly and more easily into what we refer to as the zone or flow. And as a result of, you know, some folks are like, I hate the sound of my own voice, I'm really not into this, or, you know, we hear ourselves when we're performing anyway. So if we can kind of normalize that experience before we perform, it's actually going to be easier to check into that optimal space when we are performing. I have done psych beats where, you know, romantic partners have had a line or two, and coaches have had a line or two, and moms, of course, anyone else that is influential in that person's life. You know, my thing is to get as creative as possible with this, to tailor this uniquely to each individual, which is going to be very different from the next or from the last.
Is it like the positive self-talk that the athlete chooses is based on kind of like the antidote that they need? So it's very tailored to them?
Exactly. It is incredibly tailored to them. This is not a one size fits all model. In certain cases, maybe like in a you know, if we were using this for like a generalized anxiety and teaching specific cognitive behavioral skills, that could be more generalized. But specifically to athletes, this is incredibly tailored, specific to when I, like, for example, if I'm a baseball athlete and I'm walking into the box, I have a very specific detailed routine that I'm going through to help organize and to get into that space as I walk into the box. So the positive self-talk might be around, I know my routine, I believe that I can execute this. And when I'm focused, this is the kind of pitch that I'm looking for. And as soon as I see that pitch, I'm gonna execute hard contact by X, Y, and Z with my body and so on and so forth.
Okay, so cool. And then the music that they choose is in the background.
Yeah, the focal point of the psych beat is their content, is all of these self-efficacy boosting statements around what is the plan? What am I trying to do here? And as a result, and you know, then what kind of makes it exciting is that instrumental music that is then changing affect for somebody, is maybe reminding them, I see the KISS shirt that you're wearing right now, which stands out to me, and I'm thinking, Cigna really, you know, she got down with KISS back then and she was really into it and it brought these positive memories for her. So in fact, the idea is to generate a similar affective experience for that individual during the psych beat. So then now they're feeling really good about what they're doing and then they get to go do this live.
You know what it makes me think of? There's this technique called cope ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like coping ahead of time for a particular event. And it sounds like psych beats really help someone increase the chances that they'll be able to use their desired behavior or skill.
Absolutely. I mean, I think too, you know, similarly, we're using some of these statements as prompts, as reminders, as things that if I were to be performing optimally, this is exactly what it would look like. And that is the exact content that is on the psych beat. And I would imagine that that technique is quite effective in DBT as well.
It's like the opposite of what the brain would maybe naturally do, having a negativity bias, right? It kind of focuses instead on like, how well could this possibly go?
Right. And I think too, in the midst of all of these distractions that might be going on during a performance or leading up to it, particularly at an Olympic event or something that you've trained many years for, you know, it's going to be hard managing all these things that are going on. And so why Psych Beats is cool is because it narrows your focus. It becomes very acute. It's giving you something to focus on in that moment to then better prepare.
I saw a lot of music being described as being ergogenic.
Mm-hmm.
Can you break that down for us? That's a new word for me.
Yeah, ergogenic is a great word. So yeah, my understanding of that is music is one component that can enhance whatever we're doing to achieve the goal a little bit easier or better or more optimally, that it is in line. Music can make our behavior more in line and I guess consistent with what we hope our behavior is going to be in that moment, if that makes sense. And so, you know, for me, when I think about this, right, music targets a bunch of areas in the brain. I'm a very much a right brain human, super creative, very, you know, you kind of have to be a sensitive male to be a psychologist. So that's, you know, my right brain is very active. So is my left brain, but my right brain is really active. And music, you know, explodes in the right brain. And what we know is that music targets a number of subcortical structures in the brain, activating neurons, allowing for this increase in connection between the left and right brain activity so that, you know, in my left brain, maybe I have the list of things that I hope to be doing in this performance and the rules of the game and, you know, kind of more of the data. And then the right brain is really the music is then targeting all of the feelings and the passion for what I'm doing and why it makes sense to then tie these two areas of the brain together so that they can hopefully yield an optimal performance.
Sounds like the music really helps to bridge that knowledge to the actual performance piece.
Right, right. And like we were saying, you know, this music can really kind of help channel affect, can regulate mood. And, you know, like I mentioned about the motivation, right? The motivation is the key for why we're doing this thing. Why do we wake up at 5 a.m. to go train and then do weights and then do practice and then do class and essentially do even more later in the day and then do it all over again, right? So this stuff can be, at this level, can be very taxing, can be very emotionally draining. And music, for me, I think of music as a soundtrack of my life. You know, it gives me energy. It gives me information. It allows me to get in touch with my feelings more easily than kind of just sitting, you know?
I tend to think that I don't like music on as much as I actually do. And so I've been thinking about that lately, where the left brain, I guess, is a lot more active. And I like I tend to be sort of heady and thinking about all the details. But lately, I've been a little more intentional in putting music on in my home. And I notice it like boosts my mood.
Amazing. Yeah, that is appropriate use of music, if you ask me. You know, as somebody that is pretty quickly moving and having a lot of thoughts about things, like myself, I think how we figure out what works for us in different settings based on what we're trying to achieve is really important. And I think that, you know, that just comes through curiosity and exploration of amazing music that's out there. So I think the music being able to increase focus, energy, attention, and intention in a performance is really cool.
That's, then that leads me to one of my other questions, which you kind of just answered. It's like, how might you use it as a therapeutic tool? So like you said, maybe somebody could listen to music in a way, I imagine, that matches their mood. So maybe there's a feeling of sadness and they want to be processing the emotion and it can be kind of cathartic. But what are other ways you can use it as a therapeutic tool to regulate your emotion?
Yeah, so I would say most of the time I want there to be some form of catharsis in there, right? That music is, you know, I'm thinking about maybe if we're grieving, that would help us access some of those feelings a little bit more deeply or more easily, right? Or if we're, you know, have a little bit of a lower mood and we're trying to increase our mood, maybe we're reviewing songs or playlists from a time in our life that was extremely happy, like during undergrad or during high school or during that time where we achieved that, you know, really important goal to us, or we made some of the members of our family really proud. And they're, you know, the way that our brain works, it almost kind of like timestamps some of these things where, oh my God, that song is, you know, in my hippocampus is triggering all of these kind of neurons in my right brain. And now I'm like feeling all these positive feelings around, oh, that memory, right? Of that time I was successful. And so that's another way to use it. I think too, you know, there isn't as much research in this area as there could be. And so this is absolutely an area that needs a lot more research. And I have my hands in a lot of things, but I'm hoping to be able to continue to be involved in this research and encourage current graduate students to be looking into this.
Okay, so Dr. Vigon, at elite level of athletics, you're seldom able to use music. So what do you have athletes do when they can't use their music?
That's a great point. And, you know, this came up during my dissertation research when one of these Olympians was like, you realize, like, I can't listen to music when I'm running and, you know, when I'm on the starting line. And I was like, yeah, I know this. That's, you're totally right. In fact, Psych Beats is used in preparation. The idea is maybe likely the night before an event or the morning of the event, when that individual is, you know, on the bus or in the car on the way there, when they're putting on the gear in the locker room, you know, that's when the headphones would be on, when that person is trying to begin getting in, easing into that zone. And the hope is to remember some of the various self-talk statements that have been recorded in that psych beat. And then ultimately we can recall those during the performance.
I have another question kind of backing up a little bit. I've read that moving to music leads athletes to consume less oxygen as they exert themselves. How does that work?
I am not as familiar with the research that, you know, you've read there, but I think, you know, again, everyone's movement is going to be a little bit different, right? Same with VO2 max. And so I think what's important is that we're not using music that is not consistent with the outcome goal. Like, for example, if I'm doing, you know, a long marathon, I probably don't want to burn out in the first mile. So I wouldn't be using music that's going to get me so tense, so jacked up with my arousal that then I'm going to probably have less oxygen, mental resources, physical resources for the duration of the task. So that would probably be my answer in terms of really, it's about knowing the individual on the front end and really kind of knowing how they operate and what, and this takes some time to figure out, but really knowing them so that the music that we suggest can yield that optimal physiological arousal space rather than pull them out of it or that kind of thing.
Okay. It's just so interesting to think about the ways that the music and the audio tracks can enhance performance in those ways, in all those ways. Okay. Yes. So we have a Therapy Rocks listener question for you. And this okay. Therapy Rocks listener is one that I actually know pretty well. She's my co-author, Wendy Sterling, and she's also an eating disorder and sport dietitian. And she was just dying to know, what are like the most well-known three songs used to motivate?
I mean, that is like such a good question and such a hard question at the same time. I mean, like there are so many songs out there and I got to pick three right now. Signa, come on, you're killing
me. Wendy.
So, you know, like this is, I mean, what I will say is that, again, okay, so the song that I relax to is probably Claire de Lune. I love my son loves that song. That one's great. So that would probably be to de-escalate. In terms of motivating, oh my goodness, I love Drake and Tupac and Radiohead and Coldplay. I love The Roots. I love live music. I mean, I love so many music, so many songs. Probably to motivate, that's really hard. I would say any sort of, you know, maybe top 40 or song that you remember, like, okay, if I need to pick a walk up song and it's going to be like, you know, I don't know, Wild Thing, or I'm thinking of Major League. I'm thinking of, there was the Van Halen song that the 90s Bulls walked out to, which was pretty awesome. I think it was Right Now. That song's great. But really, and what I will say is so many of my clients have used Beyonce and Taylor Swift. Understandable. Totally get it. You know, both of them are on point, right? So I think what's important is that music relates to that person. There isn't a right answer for this,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
There's a lot of different, you know, we could even have similar vocal content on the psych beats and use completely different instrumental music to yield different feelings, right? As a result of what I'm doing. So that's what I've done in the past.
Point. So with the songs that the players may choose, it's the lyrics in addition to the instrumental piece.
Correct.
It's
correct.
Both.
It's the combination of both. Exactly.
Okay. And you'll like this. On the way over today in my Van Halen or Kiss station, Fight for Your Right to Party came on by Beastie Boys.
Yeah, that's
and I was
a good
like,
one.
What? There it is.
Yeah.
I know. It was a really, really good
yeah.
one. That took
yeah.
me back
I
for
mean,
sure.
Beastie Boys, like, blew it open. Like, they made such an impact. And so for so many people around the world, I would imagine resonate with that particular song. And I'm not going to lie, you probably felt better coming into the podcast.
I totally did. And
yeah.
It just, I don't know exactly. Well, I guess I do kind of know what it's about now. I didn't know before, but now I sort of understand. So Dr. Vigon, I know you do a good part of your work with athletes. How might you use psych beats for performers and organizations?
I think we are all performers in life. And, you know, you can think about life as sport or a performance as a goal or some sort of, you know, sales or business or organizational goal. Or maybe they're organizational values that we're trying to reach, you know, day to day in our work. And so psych beats, I've actually done team psych beats before too, where different members of the team have contributed a piece of the audio content, and then you kind of get to hear this collective vision, which is really cool. But wow. You know, really what it's about in terms of, I think this can be helpful for non-athletes as well, particularly because, again, the same principles are present, but it's getting somebody motivated to and finding the self-efficacy to achieve that previously set goal, whether that's a performance goal at work or whether that's achieving exercise a certain amount of days per week. Or I've worked with, I did my postdoc with disordered eating folks and some folks who had struggled with body image and some other constructs, and using psych beats to help them feel powerful, engaged, capable, flexible, right? That they would be able to use this tool in a clinical manner to reduce anxiety about the upcoming task and to increase focus and to increase confidence when trying to achieve whatever they're working on.
Let me see if I understand this correctly. So I'm going to show you. Mm-hmm. Our audience can't see it. I have this little note card sitting mm-hmm. by my microphone, and it says simple mm-hmm. is more, because I'm trying mm-hmm. to be less wordy, to create a lot less work for my amazing audio engineer, Chris Paxton. I can read it and have it sitting here, but it doesn't integrate. So maybe I would use psych beats with that messaging, like simple is more, in my voice, yeah. and then have a motivational music in the background. Is that an example, if that was a goal of mine?
Sure, sure. So that would be one of the opening lines or something like that. But also thinking about, like, you have a great podcast voice and your focus and attention is totally locked in. And so, you know, and when you're talking, yeah, simple is more. Language is really important. So when we use less words, there's less room for overinterpretation or for confusion or for getting distracted in the moment and staying on target, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think, absolutely a performance technique when we are, what I refer to as reducing the fraction in terms of simplifying the experience. The smarter we are, the more we tend to overcomplicate, overthink about outcomes that maybe aren't relevant to what we're doing in the moment, that can distract us and throw us off course. And so simple is more, to me, means simplify, go right at what I'm trying to say and leave it alone and see how that person responds.
I love it. I have, Chris will be laughing at me. I have not succeeded with this. I think about it, but not that much. And I think you just nailed it. Thank you so much for that. Simple is more. Simple is more. Dr. Viagon, thank you so much for being here today, for taking the time, and for the work you do to empower athletes, performers, and organizations, and increase their mental flexibility and help them recover from obstacles more easily. I feel like there isn't anyone who couldn't use psych beats.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. It's been such an honor to chat with you today. And if anyone has any questions about psych beats or the work that I'm doing, feel free to reach out to me on my website, which is www.psychbeats.com or drderekvigon.com.
Thank you for joining us today for another episode of Therapy Rocks. And a reminder that you can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. We'll see you next month.